Donna from Kingman.
Hey, Donna. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey,
Donna, I was thinking very strongly of you a few days ago because we took the train to L.A. and it passed through Kingman.
Ah! Well,
next time we do it, I'll have to call you. And then you can come and wave at us as we're driving by.
that white spot in the road. So when are you coming back?
He's never going to.
I'll let you know so you can wave. We can wave.
Right.
Well, we could get off at Kingman and then get back on. We could spend a day there.
Yeah, a day? I don't know what you would do. Sit at Denny's. There's not much in Kingman.
Donna, you would have to entertain us.
We would God. You're in trouble.
Oh, you may stay a week.
We would do a flash meeting.
That would be cool. That would be very cool.
At the local Denny's.
Right.
We did it in L.A.
That would be fun.
Where do you see the video? I put up the video. I'm always scared to send something new out. But, we went to... Now, check this out. We went to Steven Spielberg's mother's restaurant in L.A.
Yes.
And her name is Leah Adler. And she started her restaurant at the same time Steven made his first movie. And she confessed to us she never raised her prices. She's selling her prices 30 years ago because her son subsidizes her.
Oh, how cute. That's cute.
And I mean, she's 91 years old. She is really a spitfire. And so we had about 14 people at her restaurant. It's probably one of the better-kept secrets in L.A. But if you want to go there, it's called the Milky Way. It's on Pico Boulevard. And you can tell her Wynn and Terry sent you. So now we have all these people, and she's coming over and hanging out at our table. And she likes to I use the word kibitz because that's her word. She's a little Jewish lady.
Yes.
She loves to kibitz with people. And she walked over, and I had Carla Rucker on the phone with me, saying hello to everybody. And then Carla starts talking about, here's a well-placed bit of trivia, okay? This is really big trivia. For 2 years, there was this young, handsome guy that used to go to Carla Rucker's live sessions at her house in Kentucky for 2 years, and then he went off to Hollywood and made a movie. And his name was Tom Cruise.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Was that before he got into Scientology?
Must have been.
Yeah.
Must have been. Mm. Now, check this out. What was Tom Cruise's early big movie besides the one where he took that prostitute home?
Risky All Business. Moves.
Huh?
Ben? Risky Top Business?
The Rain Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise. Now, look at how the knot is tightening. It's who's going to visit in L.A. but Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's cool.
Anybody out there know Tom Cruise? We have a really good way of talking. He'll be interested in talking to us.
Tom Cruise?
Play you in the movie.
We'll shoot the movie in Kingman.
Oh my gosh.
I'll
say one thing for Kingman. It's got beautiful sunrises and sunsets.
Long as it's open.
And very long views, right?
Yes. You can
I'm
see
Morgan
forever.
Morgan here, California.
Morgan.
California.
Morgan. Morgan, and we are 5 minutes past the hour. I welcome all those on the BBS radio. When this was an interesting story, of course, this is not recorded or now recording.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can start recording. Although, I guess it's okay to talk about Tom Cruise.
It's a very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. So, are we recording yet? No.
No. Ready?
Wait a second. Let me make sure. Is Terry there?
Yep.
Yes.
Is Daphne there?
Daphne is here.
And is everybody not ready?
We're all ready.
We are.
Not you guys. You guys are ready. Us the ones that have to not be ready, don't you? All right. Okay, let's...
Muted.
Please. Oh, I got a star 8. Thank you so much for being here, Wynn, Terry, and Daphne. And
this conference is being recorded.
And this is... We are recording now. February, why do we have so many people that are still unmuted? Do you know why? Geez, somebody in... well, that's okay. This is Winfrey. This is our Wednesday night call where we ask questions to our sources. And we have both Daphne and Terry on the line tonight. And we'll probably alternate questions between the two of them. And thank you all for being here. And let's see, who's chewing there? Who is chewing? Terry? Notice when I said Terry, it went away. My God. Okay.
Pardon?
There's a little bit of background noise on your line.
I'm plugging in the short cord. I'll put it on mute.
Okay. Great. And, Daphne, you're there, correct?
I am here, Wynn, yes.
Did I say the date? I did say the date, correct? Yes? February 27th, 2013. And, Daphne, is there anything you would like to share from your conscious mind with the group before we start?
In terms of some of the things that we talked about today, or, hang my hat on, then.
Give you something to hang your hat on?
Yeah.
If I do that, you'll tell me I'm taking your free will away.
No.
Daphne, I want to ask you to get your microphone a little closer.
Okay, I'm right here. Hi, is that better?
You're great. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Well, you know, actually, I'll share that some of you may not understand that this is, we're not actors here. Some people still might think we're actors. And that we are working things out in front of you. And those of you that are sensitive know that. You know what I mean. In other words, this is when you are bringing through messages in the way that we are, you know, it all has to ground in the physical. And to ground in the physical, the personal interactions have to be grounded. And when they're not, it creates the potential, more potential, for negative sources to come in. So when we talk, when we do a call like Monday, which if you didn't hear Monday's call, it was a lot of fun. Daphne played some piano. I sung a song live. Terry sung Beat It. No, Carla Ruckert sung a song. And it was kind of a letting your hair down call.
But when we do a call like that, it is not just, maybe if you're listening to it, it's not just fun to listen to. It's like we, those who are like the people on the call, Daphne, Carla, Terry, myself, are learning how to interface with each other on a very human level. Do you know, one of the things for people that do something extraordinary, like channel, one of the things about that, and in fact, when I was playing music, I had the same problem. When you have a talent that really touches people, it's very hard to be human because people expect a lot out of you. And on your human side, you're still human. You still have your human nature. You still have your faults and your frailties. And yet, when people are confronted with you, because you touch them deeply, it's understandable. It's nothing wrong with this. It's just that it has to be worked out. Because you touch somebody at a very deep level, and then suddenly they expect you to be as good as the part of them that touched you. And usually that's not true. Usually the human side is still human and still has its faults. So when we do a show like Monday, that was so much fun, it was a show that the human sides start to enjoy each other. This is very important. I mean, you know, on the human side, as you all know, having been humans and still are humans, we have things like jealousy, envy, ego, et cetera, et cetera. And we all have that potential. I think, except for Terry. Terry is probably the most perfect of us all on the human side, except that she gets spacey. But otherwise, her ability to unconditionally love is extraordinary. And but when we get our human sides together, it makes all the other stuff work better. And when the human sides are going through stuff, the other stuff, for me, I'm like responsible to make sure nothing negative comes out, gets more shaky. So, you know, I think that, you know, we don't have to go through all the human sides that we go through, but you guys that are sensitive are on these calls, you're listening, you feel it, and you're actually helping support it all in a very high way. And I want to thank you, because this really is a group interaction. It is really an us and a you, and that your ability to project support and love and get moved by everything affects us, which makes us want to do it. You know, it's like makes us feel the responsibility of it. Now, with that, Daphne, I'll turn it over to you and see if you want to say anything.
Well, that's kind of an interesting start. Thank you. gives me something to ponder. I guess when you're saying the human side, I think you're talking about a personality construct. And my experience with that, what I've been noticing in my own experience and in people around me, is that with awareness and with kind of a diligent wanting to be on the spiritual path, that spiritual awareness and that human personality construct doesn't necessarily stay stagnant. In fact, it is undergoing a sense of transmutation as well. So those kinds of things that you were talking about, the jealousy and the competition and envy, that's very much a part of 3D. But those are all vibratory. Those are all vibratory in nature. And as people start understanding the truth of consciousness, it's not that those things automatically go away, but you will find, I think, I've seen this with myself, I've seen it with other people, you will find that they have less impact on you, and you can step into a place of the observer or the witness when you start feeling those things coming up in your face, coming up in your field, and you can start to choose whether to engage those lower level frequencies or not. And I think that one of the reasons that Terry was so incredibly masterful at this is that she shared with me that she's worked many, many, many years with actual practices, self-observation practices, and I'll let her talk about them more if she wants to. But she's diligently worked at mastering her response to certain triggers in her life track. So these things that Lynn talks about, the lower level nature, the lower order nature, don't have to be prisons. You know, we are much more masterful and much more powerful than we've given ourselves credit for. And in fact, my experience is that we're in a time now, and the Earth, the electromagnetics of the Earth, are at a point in their frequency and their shift and their focus, that lower order stuff actually really needs to be watched very, very carefully, because we're in a place and in a space where whatever we are focusing on, we will manifest it extremely quickly. And if you are manifesting positive, uplifting things, it will be in your space very quickly. Equally so, if you are manifesting fears, if you're manifesting what ifs and buts and all the rest of it, that's going to present itself very quickly. So people are being given a tremendous opportunity here to really see, you know, what it is they are putting forth into the vibratory spectrum, because what you're putting forth, you're seeing. You know, what is in your space, you are somehow, and this is not a blame thing, this is just, these are the laws of physics. What you're putting forth, you're manifesting. So if you want to change what you're manifesting, start looking at the thoughts. Start looking at your internal mind speak. Start looking at the tape loops that you're running. Start looking at your self-counseling. Really, really important to be aware, because...
I just want to interject. Because in this particular area, I think that there's two aspects of this. And sometimes Daphne and I don't come to a consensus on this one. But there's one aspect, which is your thoughts, your thinking, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's another aspect, which is your unconscious. And to me, my experience for myself is that there are huge things in your unconscious. And until you can probe deeply enough to really know what they are, it's how you feel you are. You think you are how you feel right now, but that's not who you really are. That's a product of all your lifetimes and all the things in your unconscious that make you feel a certain way. And this is where observation and witnessing to yourself helps you to bring up these unconscious things, which are not nearly as easy to work with as your thoughts. I mean, you can semi-control your thoughts and say, I will be abundant, I'm not going to be jealous, I'm going to do this. But these unconscious things, which go into unworthiness, that can go into depression, and they're not so easy to release, as many of you know. So there's different approaches to it. Now, I was bringing this up because Daphne and I did a reading for someone. And, you know, Daphne is kind of like a wild horse sometimes. Things come through her that are, how would I say it? I say, uh-oh, what's happening now? Do I trust this? And I have to go with it for a while. It's not easy because I learn to trust something and then it changes And Terry, you're making too much background noise, okay? We did a reading today, and if you notice, Terry, on Sunday, they were saying, we can help you lift your karma if you let us. Now, that's a big deal. That was on the Sunday call. We can help you lift your karma if you let us. And I've watched this occur for people in our group, and I'm trying to understand the process by which that can work. Of course, one of the things is you really have to believe they're one with you. You have to connect with that this is part of you that's in a higher dimension, that it's not the Elohim being this great being that created the universe, but the Elohim being an extension of yourself that created the universe, which means part of you created the universe, and that you just don't remember. They're just more in a state of memory. They're more in a state of empowerment. But you're maybe in a state of great courage, particularly if you're one of those wanderers who has come into this realm and got lost here, because that's what usually happens. And for someone to come in from that realm to this realm to help lift the vibration and then get lost is an act of heroics. And as you're waking up to that and learning how to step into the original mission that you had on the other side is an amazing thing. And of course, if you were on the other side and you were one of those high beings, you would have seen things as one. You would have known more about the oneness of everything instead of coming into this realm and forgetting. So of course the Elohim wants to help us. Of course the Ra group wants to help us. We're here and we're struggling to make a difference here. And by being of service here, they have been waiting to work with groups of people that want that, and they want to help clear your karma and clear your energies. But you have to relate to it as part of yourself clearing you so that you don't give up your power. Because that is the temptation, to feel like you're giving up your power to these exalted sources and tell me what to do. What should I do? I'll do anything you say. I'll fix me. Just tell me. You know, that's the temptation. And so on these calls, we can have situations where they can do, Daphne calls them activations. They can work with your auric field. They can help clear things in a co-creation with you. And I've watched that happen. And I thought that perhaps on some of the readings that we've done lately, I thought that was happening. Now, I'm monitoring this because this is a very, very sensitive area. Walking the line between giving up your power, letting something outside yourself work with you, you have to really trust it for that to occur. And so this is in process, and we'll keep you informed, because I want you all to lift your karma, because otherwise I have to sit here and keep doing this and saying, uh-oh, they're depending on me. And actually, to tell you the truth, they're not just depending on me. Many of you have actually changed your patterns, and you're holding the energy for the group. And I'm just talking, but you're holding the energy. If I come in on a bad day, you are holding it even if I am. So on that note, Terry, would you like to say anything? Now you have to unmute yourself.
Yes, okay. Yes, I've worked on myself every day. It's for most of my whole lifetime. And so I've seen what my triggers are, and then I can take the trigger back. I remember my past lives. I didn't at first, but as I worked, little snippets came in here and dreams came in there, and eventually it just all went together, what my past lives were. And so I seen what my issues were and how they related from the past life to a current life, or this life, or the last life. Sometimes I didn't even know why something was happening to me. But when I look at the series of lives, I can see that some of the things that happened to me were a balancing of karma. And once I saw that it was a balancing of karma, then I had to forgive those other people because they were part of the lessons that I was learning. And I was part of the lessons that they were learning also. So sometimes it seemed like I'd never get through something, or I wouldn't be able to clear something, but I just would stay with it. And eventually I'd get why it was there and be able to clear it. So it's like a work in progress because I'm still doing it. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you. All right, let's get started. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to have our first question. And our first question is from Cindy in Chicago. And I'll address this to our sources through Daphne. Why don't starseeds remember why they incarnated on Earth? And let me just make a suggestion. I'd like to ask our sources to limit themselves to answering the question unless something is extremely important, because so that allows us to go through all our questions, or as many as we can. Cindy asks, why don't starseeds remember why they incarnated on Earth? If their purpose is to help move us in the right direction with a shift, what good is it if they don't remember why? I believe this is where having the veil makes no sense. Okay, I could probably answer that, but I'll turn it over to our sources through Daphne, and go ahead.
Thanks, Lynn.
One
moment, please. We greet you in the light. We greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. This is the Council of Ra'an. And we address to you the constructs you have in your perceptual field, in your mind, about the veil, about frequency, about dimensionality, and about the playing out of the frequency band game. Beloved, your experience of 3D would not be an experience of 3D were not there in place. If you came to Earth knowing full well that you are God consciousness and that you are integration of polarity, which is present within the orchestrated frequency spectrum that you have chosen to work with. You have chosen this incarnational pattern, this incarnational substruct and construct of your DNA, has chosen to incorporate, incorpore, meaning to be within the body field, within the body consciousness. You have chosen to incorporate living light units of consciousness and to bring these into the lower density field by thus choosing to do this amalgamation. You have chosen to orchestrate a certain dance. You have chosen to make into motion those atoms and those molecules which exist only in this density stratification. Were you to know the true essence of your divine God itself, you would say, "Yikes, why do I want to bother with working in such limitation, in such density?" It is by going through the exercise that you develop the, quote, spiritual muscle that enables you to start lifting, to start penetrating the veil. Unfortunately, because of the construct of the 3D, it is most usually through pain and through suffering that one learns. This is part of the construct. It is through restriction. It is through limitation. It is through fear, it is through pain, and it is through suffering that people usually begin to wake up and say there must be a better way. And hence you have had the great construct of your religious and your philosophical and your transformative paths, which have been available to you for many, many years. Unfortunately, these also have been subject to various off-planet and on-planet negative enforcement and negative polarity concepts. You are dealing with something which is, in a sense, very complicated. However, on a positive note, the planetary constructs at this time, the light grid, are much more accessible than they ever have been before, and the availability of light consciousness flooding into your human DNA structure is coming at much, much greater frequency and with much greater rapidity than it ever has been available to you before. Thus, you are in a unique position to awaken from the slumber, to awaken from the dream. You have chosen to be here at this place, in this moment and in this time, to participate in a rather grand design of epic proportion, which is in of itself an experiment. You have chosen to be part of this great and divine experiment, not knowing precisely the timeline you would choose, nor the outcome. So, beloved, this is something that you are in accordance learning as you go. You are winging it. You are learning to be earth angels. You are learning to fly. You are learning to see the light within. You are learning that you are indeed God consciousness in a body, and that as you believe, as you know, as you have the conviction within self, you are able then to exteriorize that conviction without self and create a dent in the creational force field, in the creational creation field, which is God consciousness incarnate. And collectively, as a group, you are able to do this together. We hope that this has shed some understanding on the
Thank you. Just a little addendum on that. This realm became negative, probably more negative than it was expected to come at the beginning of creation, because free will was granted. It wasn't known how things would work. And when beings come in from the higher realms, one of the things is that it's quite an education to learn how this realm works and how the negative in this realm works. And if you want to be one of those who is, there was that whole thing on Philip Dick where you actually have to get lost in the negative and pull yourself up out of it. And then the negative is still attached to you and pulls up with you as you pull yourself out. And it's like it may be many lifetimes of being lost in the negative before you pull yourself out and are pulling the negative with it, with you. And that's kind of how I see it. I mean, I know that I've had a lot of lifetimes. And, some of you know that there's been times when I did things where I was kind of in the limelight, and I didn't do the best job, because you can't come at it from the top down to really do it. You have to get into it, swim in it, and then pull out of it so it tracks you out. And it's just like if you want to help somebody right now. If you want to really help someone and they're in a dark place, it's oftentimes, unless you can move into their darkness and then move out again so that you can, I had the image today, I was talking to Daphne, it's like walking down the road and somebody is caught in quicksand. If you can't, if you're not willing to get your hands dirty, put them in the quicksand and pull the person out, it's really going to be hard to save them by sitting there talking to them about God or high principles. The first thing is they need someone that says, get me out of here. And then you have to be able to pull someone out without getting pulled in. And that is the trick. And that's why it takes a lot of lifetimes to learn how to do that. I hope that makes sense. Terry, are you on here?
Yes, I am.
Next question. There's some people are talking about Planet X and Nibiru and Anunnaki coming back to Earth. And there's enough on the Internet about this that some people assume that Planet X is coming and going to devastate the Earth. And Raymond Neipert, and his email is glowstick.tech. Raymond, in case you don't know it, Terry and I used to sell glow sticks on the 4th of July. I don't know if it's the same glow sticks, but that's up to the side. That was years ago. Well, the question is, can you share more about Planet X and Nibiru, and do we have anything negative to look forward to from that planet?
Thank you. Some days, if you go out and look at the sun, as the sun is coming up, you can see a reflection that looks, although it is not two suns, it looks like it is two suns. As there is the sun, and then about 5 o'clock to the right, there is a shiny, sometimes glowing sphere, sometimes it almost looks like a heavenly body there. And the conjecture is that we, in the Earth and in the solar system, are part of a dual star system wherein there is a dark star that the solar system is moving around, and that planet Nibiru is a planet that is rotating around the dark star, and that about every 3,600 years it comes close into Earth and has some of its orbit between Earth and near the sun, and then moves back out and is not seen after that, and that the presence of that body creates a gravitational connection with the Earth, which places some strain upon it, which then it creates a situation where earthquakes and even at some points the polar shift could take place. There isn't a timeline. Usually this planet does not stay very long in the neighborhood, and then it is gone. There may be some effects from this body moving through this portion of the solar system. It is not then totally mapped out, totally projected or prophesized of what is the total outcome of this, although it does have some influence at this time. We do not wish to project into the prophecy of the outcome of this, although it will pass through and will be gone again for a lot of years, about 3,600 years. So there are influences which are increasing the frequency and resonance of the Earth, which are allowing individuals, humans at this time, to increase their frequency and to rid themselves of karma that they have been carrying and have an opportunity to become more clear. That is our answer.
Thank you. Tell me something. In this particular case, can prayers help mitigate a worst-case scenario?
Yes.
A worst case.
That is correct. It can, as prayers are senior and all
Thank
its
you.
Vibration.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to ask this one to Daphne. This is from Joshua in Austin, Texas. It's not exactly a question, but we can get your comment. I'm an avid listener to the calls as well as the archives. I've been listening for about 6 months and feel greatly connected to the group as well as the work. I have not asked a question before, so I'm using my newbie question priority to ask if we can make some time tonight to put Carla's unhealing surgical wound in the light, if it's for the good of all concerned and okay with Carla. And it is okay with Carla. She is a tremendous inspiration, and I am sending my love light to her as well as the groups, both to the ground crew and to our sources. Thank you, Joshua, Austin, Texas. And, you know, in talking to Carla today, I had a conversation with her. You know, she has, you know, one of the things that has happened is her spine has fallen apart, and she has metal rods, however they do that, holding it together. And the disc at the base of the spine has deteriorated to the point where it creates constant pain, I think, by the weight of the stuff on top of it.
So that's what the operation is that she's going into. And to take out that broken disc, that's the way I understood it. Terry, I think you're still making noise there. Hang on a second. Is that you, Terry?
I don't know. I'll be very, very still.
Okay. You know, the problem is I can mute you here. But if I mute you here and then I call on you, you have to press *6. And then it gets confusing because you don't know whether you're muted locally or muted here. And we go through a little bit of confusion. So it's better for you to mute yourself and take control of it. So that way you know how to unmute yourself. Pardon me?
I don't think I'm making noise, but I don't want to get through into it because I'll lose the channeling mode.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. I wasn't watching, so I can tell where noise is coming from. I'm watching the console. So in any case, I'm going to turn it over to our sources through Daphne, and they can make any comments concerning Joshua's request to Carla.
This is just me from my conscious mind. I don't think that there's any particular need to invoke sources at this point. I think it's a valid request, and we certainly wish for Carla's healing. So you'd like you could say a prayer. Maybe you want to invoke the light.
Well, why don't we all just take a moment of silence and bring our sources, ask them to join us it's probably going to be about 8 days till this operation occurs. So whenever it occurs, I told Carla I would stay closely online with her when she's having it, just to have it to go smoothly and clear her stuff up. Okay, and as you know, Carla and I are doing another one of our sessions, our Law of One Made Simple session on Saturday, and I haven't sent anything out on it yet. I'll probably send it out tonight. So I hope you'll show up. And, you know, these sessions, Carla has been kind of locked in her chair, like she can't move, she can't walk. I don't know if you know that. And her husband takes care of her. And these sessions we're doing are really important to her. They're really giving her a feeling that she can be of service, even if she's stuck in a chair and not moving. And I thank all of you for supporting that. Okay, now here is another one. And I think I'll give this to Daphne. And what is the purpose of resurrection, according to the way the Bible presents it, the New Testament, if we have reincarnation? That's from Robert Hoops in Greensburg, Indiana.
One moment, please. Thank you. We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. Beloved, you have asked, and we respond to you. To Elohim, Sarah, Sarael, Sara'an. We speak now with the one of the Ra'an, and we would say to you, you ask of the body, you ask of the resurrection, you ask of the reincarnation, you ask of the differences, the new expression, the new modalities of the life force, of the life current making itself available. And we, from our perspective, would say that resurrection, or the ability of the love light essence to permeate the God construct of body, is to rid the body of karma, is to rid the body of the imperfection of the earthly, ego, limited construct. It is to rid the body of dualism. It is to rid the body of that which makes the body ill or diseased. It is a clearing of the body. In order for one to reincarnate, there must by necessity be a karmic impulse. There must be a reason that has been uncompleted, that needs or requires resolution. There are those instances where souls, great avatar souls, take bodies. From the point of the view of a bodhisattva or a great master, there have been those instances where there is no karma, or there is very little karma. But in general, the reincarnation track is a track of working out. It is a track of lower level earth desires. It is a track of integrating and resolving polarity consciousness. It is a track of integrating dualism. It is a track of bringing together that which is unbalanced and needs resolution. Such a way, such a path, is the path of the 3D. However, resurrection, the idea that one may inhabit the light body, this is the path of the ascension. This is the path that you, as a race, are working collectively towards. You are working towards taking your body with you through the ascension process, meaning that you can access the God consciousness, the God light, in your cells, in your cellular structure, from the place and the template of an awakened body, of having the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, all the way up to the 12 strands of the light infiltrated encodement, the light filaments in the body, being able to work with you at all times. It is as if the light amperage, the ability to hold power, to hold light, to hold frequency, to hold source within yourself, it exponentially moves from a place of unsustainability where it is now, it is subject to the laws of disease and decay because you are still living within the third density. Once you move over the bridge of the fourth, once you move over the bridge of the heart, once you make compassion and equilibrium and balance and harmlessness, once you make this the foundational aspect, the mainstream of what is your life, the body is no longer subject to the lower laws of death and decay, and hence resurrection or the perfection of the life body is then possible. Your bodies are not designed genetically to die. Your bodies are not designed genetically to age. Your bodies are not designed genetically to need to consume, be it food or water, to sustain. Your bodies are designed to live directly through the chronic life force, which is the ether, which is the God source, which is all around you. There are certain adepts, certain masters, who have evidenced this. This is the path of the rishis. This is the path of the yogis. This is the path of the gurus. However, this knowledge has been esoteric in the past. It has been made only available to a select few because the overall light quotient, the overall intelligence, and we choose an alternate timeline. This is the field of choice in which you find yourself now. This is why at this time you must watch your thoughts carefully now. You must watch your desires carefully now. For what is your heart's desire? What is your lowest desire? It will surely come to pass, as the fields have become especially magnetic now. All thoughts, all feelings, have electromagnetism as their base. You are learning to draw the frequency into your sphere and into precipitation with a sense of immediacy that has never been seen in the history of humankind in the last several hundred thousand years. The esoteric is now being made esoteric. What was hidden shall now be shown. The hidden laws of the universe, the hidden laws of the quantum field, are now being made exteriorized for more and more people to understand that the mysteries of the yogis, of the rishis, the mysteries of the mystics, of the adepts, are now converging with the mysteries of science. This is our answer to you. Thank you.
Thank you. That's going to be our last question for tonight. It's 7:58, and we have to give things back to BBS. There were other really good questions, and some of them, resubmit them for next week. And not resubmit yours. Michael, resubmit yours. Okay, Michael Adler. And, you know, I can't, we always get more questions than I can answer. And we have certain people asking questions about personal issues that are just true to them. And I think we have to do that. Sometimes we include those, but I think in the future we'll have to do sessions that are separate. Maybe we charge a small amount of money to ask those questions, because there's a lot of processing that goes on with Daphne and Terry with personal questions like that. And it's not as easy to do it as, you know, questions that are work for everybody. And so on that note, again, watch for the notice on the Carla Rucker workshop on Saturday. And thanks for supporting it, especially from Carla. She really appreciates doing them. And thank you all for being here. And, of course, thank all the volunteers. And I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but we probably have going on 19,000 hits on the Spirit Channel. So something we're doing is working, and it's and what a great thing that so many of you are using these resources, and it certainly motivates us to keep it up. So on that note, we're going to say goodbye.
Unmuted.
And you can say goodbye, and you're online, and we'll see you Sunday.
Bye.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you,
Daphne.